Amen. Great work, kids. Sounded beautiful. Great to hear kids worshiping the Lord. It gives us some motivation as we sing our next song, number 670. Number 670, as you join me in singing, this may be a new song to some of you. Be strong in the Lord. Great reminder that we are challenged to be strong, to be filled with strength these days. The only way we as Christians, though, and really anyone, can be strong is through the strength that the Lord gives us. So sing together with me, number 670, Be Strong in the Lord.
Be strong in the Lord and be of good courage. Your mighty defender is always the same. Mount up with wings as the eagle ascending. Victory is sure when you call on his name. Be strong, be strong, be strong in the Lord, and be of good courage, for he is your guide. Be strong, be strong, be strong in the Lord, and rejoice, for the victory is yours. So put on the armor the Lord has provided, and place your defense in his unfailing care. Trust him, for he will be with you in battle, lighting your path to avoid every snare. Be strong in the Lord, and be of good courage, for he is your guide. Be strong in the Lord, and rejoice, for the victory is yours.
As we sing the last verse, all children are dismissed to children and junior church. On the last.
Be strong in the Lord, and be of good courage. Your mighty commander will vanquish the foe. Fear not the battle, for the victory is always his. He will protect you wherever you go. Be strong in the Lord, and be of good courage, for he is your guide. Be strong in the Lord, and rejoice, for the victory is yours.
Amen. You may be seated. We're excited to have Brother Keo with us this morning. He spoke in Sunday school. He's speaking for the morning service and presenting his ministry in the evening service tonight. One of our missionaries to Cambodia. Excited to have you come, brother. You come and you preach the word this morning.
Okay. Feel different being too high, amen. Okay, Acts chapter 26. Okay, this morning I'm going to speak on the effects of the gospel. The effects of the gospel. Acts 26. Okay, I won't read the Khmer Bible. We just read the English Bible. I try my best to speak English, amen? Or you can say Cambodian English if you don't understand me. But I'm talking to you guys. I'm losing track where I'm at. Okay, Acts 26, we'll read verse. Okay, we'll start in verse 15. Okay, if you guys don't mind, you can stand with me, and if you can, you're able to, we'll read the honor God's word, and then I'll pray, and we'll get started. And I said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee." Okay, why does God commission Paul? To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Okay, let me pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your word, for the singing, Lord, for young people that love you, and for those that work with them, Lord. I'm very grateful for that. And I pray you... Your will be done. You are the King of Kings, and I pray that you will be honored and glorified, Father. We love you in Christ's name. Amen. All right, just like I said, I want to talk about the effects of the gospel. Why it is so important for us to preach the gospel. Why is it is so important for us to obey the Great Commission and make disciples, not just to win souls, but to make disciples of men, women all over this world. And so Paul here in this chapter, in this passage, Paul got saved, and of course he was rehearsing this to King Agrippa, that how he got saved and how God commissioned him to take the gospel to the Gentiles. God called him also to the Jews, but mainly to the Gentiles. And verse 18, I love this verse. It said, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. From darkness to light. And friend, you want to think about that verse. And if you are saved this morning, friend, you belong to the kingdom of God. Or you, if I may say, the kingdom of light. You know, you are transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. I thank God for that, you know. But to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Why does God command us to preach the gospel? Why does God command us to live as children of light in Ephesians chapter 2, chapter 5? Why does God command us to be salt and light in this earth? And I want you to think about that, and this verse give us our answers. So I want to remind you how powerful the gospel is. The power of the gospel. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And I'm sorry, I might misquote that. Let me read it for you. Okay, I love this verse in Romans chapter 1. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, to everyone. To every Cambodian person that repent and believe on Jesus Christ, the power of God, the gospel is the power of God that saved them. Doesn't matter who you are, what sin you have committed, the gospel is the power of God that saved everyone the same way. And that's why Paul was not ashamed. Okay, but let me get this as a message, the effects of the gospel. So God commissioned Apostle Paul to take the gospel to the Gentiles, to the Jews also, but mainly to the Gentiles, to have their eyes open, to open their eyes. And I want to remind you, friend, when people are not saved, the lost world are blinded, spiritually blinded. Spiritually blinded. When people are in darkness and are spiritually blind, like I said earlier this morning, they will worship stick and stone. They will worship their ancestor. They will worship angels. They will worship in Cambodia. I did not know this when I was growing up during the wartime and a little bit before the war in the 70s, but ever since I went back to Cambodia the last 12 years, in a lot of villages in Cambodia, they put scarecrow in front of their house, not to scare the crow away, but to scare demons away. Why do they do that? They are in darkness. They don't know God. They don't know God. Cambodian people wear red string, and you can Google it and look it up. They have a tradition of, they believe that red string will protect them from bad luck or evil spirit. They trust in a little red string on their wrist. Why did they do that? They don't have the knowledge of the truth. They live in fear. They don't know God. They don't know God. Why do they put up altars and picture of their ancestor, their parents, and they give offering and burn incense to that picture? They are in darkness. Many, many cultures in this world are like that, to be honest with you. But why mission is so important? Why is it so important for us to preach the gospel? Why it is so important for us to live as disciples of Jesus Christ, as committed followers of Jesus Christ? Why is it so important for us to be light? We are not the light. We reflect the light of Jesus Christ. We reflect his righteousness, his goodness, his mercy, his love, if we obey his words. That's what God calls to be light and salt. We're to be salt of the earth, to cause people to have a desire to thirst for God by our example, by our kindness, by our compassion, by our love for one another and our love for them. That's why God said, ye are the salt of the earth. We are to help this world from getting worse and worse, to preserve righteousness, to like salt preserve meat from being spoiled. We're to be salt. And I want to remind you of that. But why mission so important? Why is it so important to us to be witnesses? And when we are given opportunities, and not to be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ, not to be ashamed to pass out a gospel tract, or when people are open to God, why we ought to be witnesses for God and tell them about who Jesus is. But just like God commanded Apostle Paul to preach the gospel, God commanded the same way, to take the gospel to the whole world. And friend, I want to remind you of that. I know you support mission, and I thank God for that. But I want to remind you our work is not done. There's a great work ahead of us. You know, sometimes I know with the thing going on right now, if you and I are not careful, we only think about what we go through in this country. But there's still a world, a lot of people in this world that never heard of Jesus Christ. They never heard of the good news of the gospel. They never heard of the truth. They've never been loved, truly loved. And I just want to remind you of that. So I am so grateful that I get to work among people there in Southeast Asia. But I am constantly reminded there's so much more to be done. So much more. So many lost people in this world. So many people that I was like that. You know, I thought that this world was all it is was about me. Me, myself, and I. You know, live for myself until I got saved. But let me get back. Why mission is so important, so essential? Just like God commissioned Paul to take the gospel to the Gentiles, so their eyes can be open. And I want to remind you, there's so many people in this world are still in darkness. They live in darkness. You know, it does not shock me to see the unsaved people in America to behave like they do. Because they are in darkness. They don't know God. And of course, we ought to speak the truth in love. But let me go on to open their eyes. In Isaiah 42, 6 to 8, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. God, he would not give glory to another, to no one else, friend. He is the only God. He is the King of glory. He is the King of kings. He is the Holy One. He is the Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible didn't say Jesus is a way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. In him is life, friend, and no one else. No one else. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4-6. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I thank God for that. I thank God for that. Paul said, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Friend, I remind you, this world, this life is not about us. It's not about me. It's not about me, myself, and I. It's about him. It's about Jesus Christ. About Jesus Christ. To open the eyes, to the eyes of their understanding, which were shut and darkened and blind. It is to have them enlightened to see their lost condition and to see that man could not be righteous by their own merits. You know what a lot of people in this world that don't know God, that's what they believe in, trusting in their own works, earning merits. But the Bible said, there's none righteous, no, not one. None. I was evil before I got saved. Now, of course, I still sin. Of course, when I sin now, you know, I ask God to forgive me. But I remember just pure evil. Just so evil. I remember a couple of times I was so angry with my life, so angry with the thing that happened to me. I actually looked up at the sky and cursed God two different times as an unsaved person. Just evil. Darkness. And that's why it's important for us to preach the gospel, to have the eyes open, to have eyes open. You know, when the gospel is preached, when people have a desire for God, when their eyes are open, they can see where salvation is, to behold Christ as the only able, willing, complete, and suitable Savior, to see that there is life and righteousness, peace, pardon, grace, and glory in him, in Jesus Christ alone. I thank God for that. When I see young people and kids, you know, seeing it really touched my heart. You know, when I see people smiling, being joyful, really touched me. I'd be honest with Lena. Before I got saved, I was like, just, oh, poor me. Please, pity me. Oh, I've been through the war. I've been through hunger. I was like that. Then after I got saved, I was like, you know what? I have nothing to feel sorry for myself about. It's all about my Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I thank God I learned to laugh, learned to be joyful. Sometimes my kids say, I laugh too much, amen. But I'd rather be like that than to be, you know, grumpy, long face. Man, you couldn't get me to talk to anybody before I got saved. Full of hatred. Full of bitterness. Why? Because I was in darkness. I thank God for his mercy. But let me go on to open the eyes. Friend, that's why we need to preach the gospel, to have people's eyes open to God and to see their lost condition. Without God, they have no hope. There's no other way to God the Father, to heaven, but through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. There's no other way, for he is the true God. There's not a Buddhist way, a Hindu way, a Islamic way. No, there's only one way to God the Father, that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to remind you that that's why mission is so important. That's why it's so important for us to live as children of light. And I think in Ephesians, I might have read already, but let me read this again. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 to 11, for ye were sometime darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And that's my challenge to you as Christian. Live, walk as children of light, children of God. You belong to the kingdom of light. You're not in darkness. I thank God for that. As a child of God, I don't have to feel sorry for myself. I have everything that I needed. God is everything to me. He is everything, everything. Oftentimes, I am challenged and God convicts me. Let's say if I lose everything in this world and I only have God, if I lose all the money I save, I love my motorcycle, amen? Let's say if somebody stole my motorcycle, my house burned down, would I still love God? Think about that. Or you probably say, oh, bro, that's easy. Well, think about it. There are oftentimes I have to think about that. Do I let the thing that I have get in the way of God? If I were to lose everything, would I still love God? Would I still love God? Believe me, I didn't write this down, but it came to my mind. You know, God used his word, used the gospel to open the eyes of people that are spiritually blind. But beside his word and the gospel is power, it's God's power. But I want to remind you, you know what else is powerful? Your holy living, your testimony. God can use your conduct, your righteous living for God to open someone's eyes. I think about just a couple years ago, this lady, she's mid-40s, I think her name is Sraam. She told my friend Dave Board, one of the reasons she opened her heart to God, she started thinking about Jesus Christ, the church. Her husband collects recycled stuff to survive, but she sells peanuts, boiled peanuts, on her bicycle. And she told us, I don't remember, at least 1 or 2 years, she would ride her bicycle past our church. And when she saw us as Christians, always smiling, talking, being joyful, it got her attention. And she eventually got saved 2 years ago. She said, you know what led her to want to know God was she saw us as a church. We were happy. And she didn't have that joy. So I want to remind you, God used the gospel, of course, to open people's eyes to him. But God also used your conduct, your testimony, how you act, how you behave. I was like that. When I start thinking about God as a teenager, 16, 17 years old, I remember I thought back to the time when my family first got to America in 1981. I remember a Southern Baptist church would come to our apartment complex, and they would take us to church. And back then, I was 11, 12 years old. I didn't understand any English at all. So I just wanted to get toys, amen. I was like any other boy. I just want to, oh, just give me some cookie and milk and toys. I'll be happy. Didn't know anything about God, anything like that. But as I got older, when God started working my heart, I remember back to those times. I remember back to this gentleman that he would come to our Cambodian refugee complex, apartment complex, and he would take us Cambodian kids, Asian kids, to his house, and I just show us love. That was it. I don't remember his name. All I remember is just he did not say anything because we were just all boys because with Asian parents, a stranger can take boys to the next country. They don't care, but not girls. So we just all boys. We would go to his house. He would feed us, play with his kids' toys. He showed us love and kindness. And I knew he was a Christian. But when I think back to those times, when I was bitter and angry, wanted to kill myself, I think about the love and the kindness that American Christians showed to refugees. That what opened my heart to God. I said, you know what? Why Americans are so forgiving, so quick to forgive? If you remember my testimony, I know it's been a while back, 12 years ago. One of the things that I was shocked when I went to school, Emma Hutchinson Elementary School in Atlanta, back in 81, 82, they still had prayer in the public school. And then not only that, my classmate, I was shocked that my American classmate, they would fight with each other. Then 5 minutes later, they would play with each other like best friend. I'm like, is American dumb or something? Well, I was like, in my culture, if I can fight with somebody, they my enemy for life. So when I thought about stuff like that, and I realized that it's that Christian value, Judeo-Christian influence. And God used that. God used the love of American Christian and the compassion to open my heart to him. So I want to remind you, friends, your testimony, your conduct, God can use that greatly. Or the same way, if you and I don't live for God, we can do great destruction to the gospel. I want to remind you of that also. If we as Christians, we are the children of God, children of light, but we behave like children of darkness, it'll turn the world away from the Lord Jesus Christ. It can have the opposite effect. But I want to remind you, we are children of God if you are saved this morning. And we ought to live as children of light. We reflect the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the light. Let me go on. I still got 5 pages. Amen. You're in trouble. I just realized that. But don't worry. I know where my lunchtime is. Amen. I didn't get this big by accident. Amen. Oh, wow. You guys play softball. I'm jealous. I used to play softball for my church league. Then Georgia, this was when I was 60 pound lighter, amen. Wow, but let me go on. In John 14:6, I quoted to you guys already, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus didn't say that he would show us a way. He said that he is the way. He didn't promise to teach us a truth. He said that he is the truth. Jesus didn't offer us the secret to life. He said that he is the life. Like I told you earlier, before I got saved, I didn't want to live. But after I got saved, I understood the meaning of life. I understood why God created me, why I am here, not to live for self, but to live for Him, His glory. I thank God for that. Now I want to live, amen. I don't want to die, but if I die for God, that's fine. If I die for righteousness, that is good. But I want to live my life for Him, for Him. I thank God for that truth. But let me, give me just a few minutes. So first of all, to open the eyes. And under open the eyes, God used the gospel to open people's eyes, and God used our example to open people's eyes. So I want to remind you of that. But the same way, like I said earlier, if you and I are not living for God, we are not being committed followers of Jesus Christ, the world can turn, they will not want God. They will not want God. I can tell you over and over again, example of people in Cambodia, most of them got saved because the example of their family, of somebody else. I guarantee even you, most of you in this room are like that. You got saved because a good example of somebody else. Somebody invited you to church or told you about God, or they witnessed to you, or you are challenged and encouraged by their good testimony, by their love and kindness. Because I was like that. I was like that. But let me, secondly, not only open their eyes, but when people's eyes are open, when people are saved, we are translated from darkness to light. Okay? I love verses where you have that own outline, amen? But from darkness to light, the darkness of nature, the darkness of sin, of ignorance and unbelief, they are turned to light, to God, who is light itself, and to Christ, the light of the world, and to the light of the Word. From bondage to liberty, from sorrow to joy. From sorrow to joy. Amen. You know, I told you when you know, my friend Kim Lin, she's Vietnamese, I still stay in contact because she's the one who invited me to church. She had no idea that I was suicidal. She had no idea I was bitter. She had no idea I was angry at the world. And she had no idea the Holy Spirit was working my heart already. But all she did was that one day in January 1988, she gave me an invitation. She said, "Tu, if you want to come to my church, you're welcome to come." And that was the first time, I'd be honest, that somebody invited me to something. But she had no idea God was working my heart already. But then when I went to church, it seemed like everybody, you know, came and shook my hand and told me how grateful they are that to see me in church. That really touched my heart even more. And when I saw that, I saw the kindness, and the love, and the friendliness of Christian, it really touched me. And then that day, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. January 30, 1988. And I got, you know, I go from darkness to light. So I thank God to this day. I thank God for my friend Kim Lin for inviting me to church. Friend, I want to remind you, you don't know how just one small act of kindness can do to a person. I was that bitter teenager. My friend Kim Lin did not know what I went through. All she did was give me an invitation to church. And I got saved because of that. Let me go on. So from darkness to light, not only that, from the power of Satan unto God. I wrote down like 20, 30 verses. But Satan has power over the minds of them that believe not. Satan used up a power over the Gentile world and took upon him to be the god of it. And may I remind you that Satan, with the small g, of course, he's the god of this world. And that's why it's so important for us to preach the gospel, to be witnesses for God, to live a life that caused people to wonder, to be open to God. So from the power of Satan unto God, let me do this instead. I think about probably we have 4 church plants. We have the 5th one of our church plants plant another church on their own. So I thank God for that. But one of the church plants with a lot of former Muslim, I thank God for that church. I thank God for the gentleman, his name is Hem, H-E-M. He was demon-possessed off and on for over 10 years. I think I told you his story before. He was demon-possessed for over 10 years, off and on. But because of the testimony of some, his wife, he got saved in 2014. And now he's living for God. From the power of Satan unto God. Unto God. I could tell you story after story. People just like him. I am glad God delivered me from the power of Satan. From the power of Satan. When you're under the demonic power, just pure evil, you just do whatever that pleases your sin nature and that pleases Satan. That pleases Satan. So I will remind you, you are delivered from the power of Satan unto God. And God expects us to live as children of light. As children of light. And when we are delivered from Satan's power, we receive forgiveness of sin. And not only that, inheritance. Inheritance, just like that verse said. So I want to encourage you, don't you want people that out there that never heard of Jesus, that are lost, that are in darkness, don't you want them to be delivered from Satan unto God? Don't you want them to know the power of the gospel? Don't you want them to inherit the same thing that you and I inherit when you get saved? Don't you want them the same thing for them? People in darkness. All those thousands of young ladies, every single day, Monday through Saturday, get transported to their factories on the back of a truck. I'm talking about thousands, hundreds of thousands every single day. Don't you want that for them? Don't you want the people in your community in Richland, Tri-City, those that don't know God, don't you want that same inheritance that you have? Don't you want them to be delivered from the power of Satan and to receive forgiveness just like you and I have? I want to remind you, God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Not one person in this world that God wants them to die and spend eternity in hell. Not one person. And I want to challenge you that you and I should have that same desire like God had. That same love. That willing to do anything for God, for his glory, and for people. You know, may I say this and then we'll be over. You know what my preacher friend said, when you see a preacher close his note, you have hope, amen. Not only I close my note, I close my Bible. You guys really have hope. But the world needs the Lord Jesus Christ, friend. You and I can look at it like this way, okay? As our country going further away from God, if we live for God, our light can shine brighter and brighter. Instead of complaining about, the bad thing is give us opportunity to shine brighter. I want to remind you of that. It's easy to complain about things in this world. But it takes God's power, the Holy Spirit, and we have all that. We have all of that. See, God gave us all of that to live our life for him. As the world, as our country get darker, I hate to see that happen, but at the same time, friends, I want to remind you, you and I have the opportunity to shine brighter for God. And people can see that we are not bitter and angry like them. They can see the difference between Christian and the lost world. And I want to challenge you with that. Don't be like the world, getting caught up with all these things that you see on social media. But you and I have the opportunity to be salt and light onto this lost and dying world. Let us bow our head and close our eyes. I'll pray and then I'll hand it over to Pastor. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to speak, Lord. You are everything to me and my family. I would not be here, Lord, without you, Lord. I would not know the meaning of life. I would still be in darkness if it were not for you, Lord Jesus. I thank you so much for saving me and delivering me from the power of Satan. And thank you, Father, that you are merciful and help us all to be more like you, Lord. In Christ's name, amen. Pastor.
Amen. Thank you so much, brother. Are you living the life that God's called you to live? Are you shining like you should? Are you seasoning and preserving like you should? And you may say, well, Pastor Randy, that's hard. This world's tough, and there's lots of distractions. But I want to just remind you of what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. According as his divine power, God's divine power, hath given unto us, that's all of us Christians, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, Jesus Christ, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you and I, might be the partakers of the divine nature, the life of Christ in us, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You see, God has given us everything we need to live the life he's called us to live, and to shine the light that he's called us to shine, and to preach the gospel he's called us to preach. If we're not, it's not because we have not been equipped or enabled, but because we have chosen not to. So let's make things right today. If you're here today and you as a Christian have been living your life for yourself, there's probably no more meaningless life than that. Right. There's nothing more dissatisfying than being a Christian who's not living for the Lord. So if you need to just take the time to set things right with the Lord, I encourage you to do that today. And if you're here this morning and the things that you heard preached were offensive to you, that's a clear indication that they're true. Because Christ is offensive to the sinner, but the Savior to the one who surrenders. So I would encourage you to consider Christ this morning. Pastor Caleb, would you come and lead us in a final song, please?
Turn your hymn books to number 380. Number 380, just as Brother Keel was saying, Christ is not a way, he is the way. And number 380, on Christ I stand, as you join me in standing. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Number 380, let's sing the first verse together.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand, a higher plane than I have found. On Christ the solid rock I stand.
Let's close in prayer. Lord, I thank you that we can stand on you, that you are our salvation, that, Lord, as we just heard read, you have everything in your word. You are sufficient for everything in our life. I pray that if there is anyone here this morning that does not know you, that does not have that personal relationship with you, that today would be their day of salvation. Lord, for us as Christians, help us to be that shining light, both as we present the gospel and as we go about our lives, that joy of the Lord, I pray that it radiates from us. Lord, I thank you that we can have that peace that passes understanding, that joy that is accessible unto us because of what you have done in our lives. Bless each one of us this morning as we go and we seek you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. Hope to see you tonight.